So, welcome everybody new in the room, and we have a very interesting new guest here, which is Mauro from Star Wars. So give him a warm welcome and let us learn about
Okay, welcome. First time doing a talk in front of a large audience, so I hope it goes well. Louder! Okay. Okay. So I want to do a brief history about the project. I've been involved with email for a few years already. I started with UUCP, downloading emails with a modem. Then in the late 90s, I wrote a webmail in C using CGI 1.0. Then I wrote a mail server in the 2000s, and then another mail in C, and then another mail server in Java. So then what happened is that I, after taking a break to study, I went back to the email world and I saw that everything was pretty much the same. Like there was still all postfix, dovecot around, and and I thought, yeah, something needs to be done about that. So of course, postfix and dovecot are great tools. They're rock solid. They've been there for decades. But they haven't changed much. So if you want to run a mail server, you need different tools from different providers, not only postfix and dovecot. You also need other tools that we'll cover later. Then also you need experience maintaining all these different tools because they're not made by the same people. For debugging, you need to go through different types of logs, also multiple dependencies. Also, no unified administration interface. There's even also postfix and dovecot do not have a UI. You need to use third-party tools. And they were not designed for scalability or modern email protocols. For example, MailDir, of course, you can make it scale, but it's not scalable. Also, with postfix, all the queues are local. They're not designed to be run in a cluster. Like, if one delivery server fails, another one can take over. So then you have solutions like Mail in a Box and MailCow, and all those Docker-based solutions that bundle multiple tools, but it's just an attempt to simplify, but they don't solve the long-term problems. So they're just wrapping the complexity in a box. So running a mail server shouldn't be like having a big shopping list that you need postfix, Savansas in Postgres, This was taken from the latest Mail in a Box Docker file, all the stuff they're downloading. Okay, so say goodbye to complexity and hello to Star Wars. Yeah. Okay, Star Wars is an all-in-one mail server. It includes everything. It's a single binary that includes everything you need to run a mail server. It has SMTP, JMAP, IMAP 4, POP3, managed sieve. It has a built-in spam and phishing filter. Web-based admin. It is scalable from day one, modern, programmable, secure, and was also memory safe, written in Rust. And it's available for Unix, even BSD, Windows, and also as a Docker container. So to install Star Wars is really easy. You just download the script, you install it, and that's it. And then you go to the admin, you log in, and what you just need to do is enter your main host name. That is the name of your server. And then you have to add an Acme provider. And it supports different challenge types, TLS, ALPN 01, DNS 01, HTTP 01. But okay, I won't spend too much time here. Then you add the domain and your first account and you're ready to go. You reload the configuration and that's it. You have the mail server up and running. So Star Wars started as a JMAP store, then added support for IMAP, POP3, and it has a complete implementation of JMAP, the core mail, the latest draft for SIP scripts, WebSockets, blob management, quotas, and coming soon this year, calendars and contacts. Then also supports IMAP, the new version, the revision 2, is compatible with revision 1, has the const store query sync, access control list, and many other extensions. It also supports all protocols like POP3, extensions, extension to POP3s, and managed sieve. The SMTP server is a programmable and scalable MTA. Dynamic configuration rules with expressions that we're going to cover later. It has SIP scripting, so you can run SIP scripts. Although SIP scripts were designed for the mailbox delivery, you can run them at each stage of the SMTP session, doing data, RCPT, and so on. It supports a Milter filter that was a relic from the sendmail era. And it supports a modern protocol that should be standardized at some point called MTA hooks, which is an HTTP base. It's like the JMAP to Milter for to IMAP for filtering on it. Well, also envelope rewriting and message modification. What then includes everything for sender and message authentication, DMARC, DKIM, SPF, ARC, reverse IP, and DMARC report, but it won't support VIMI until the protocol is fixed. This is you can troubleshoot if you have problems. It will tell you what it's doing at each stage of that. This is an email delivery test. If something goes wrong, you can test, and it will tell you what's going on. Also, you can do DMARC troubleshooting. You can see what's wrong with your own domain and also with external domains. Those who support strong transport security, Zane, MTA, STAs, TLS reporting, and also that's automatic analysis of TLS reports that you receive. You can turn them, if you have a failing report that indicates failures, you can turn them into webhooks or log them to open telemetry or whatever you like. This is how the DMARC and TLS reporting analysis. So you don't need those online services like DMARCian or DMARC tools. You can do that from Stalwart. So you can see the reports that you will send and the reports you received also, what happened to that. This is for both TLS and DMARC. And then the message queues in SMTP server. They're distributed. So if you run Stalwart in a cluster and one server crashes, another server can take over and keep delivering those messages. It's a shared message queue. It has inbound and outbound rate limiting, so to prevent spammers from your side and to prevent attacks also from the outside. Also, queue quotas. You can say from this domain or from this sender, only a maximum of these megabytes or messages can be at the queue at any given time. Dynamic routing rules. Also, delayed and priority delivery with an extension called MT priority, and virtual queues. This is how you can also you can manage the queue from the web, from the web admin, see all the delivery attempts, check the contents, and so on. And also see the delivery history, the message you, all the attempts for each session ongoing, you can see what happened. Okay. Something I forgot to mention at the beginning, Stalwart is completely open source under AGPL3. But there are some modules like multi-tenancy that are available to sponsor, GitHub sponsors and Open Collective sponsors. But like 95% is completely free. So the spam and phishing filter, it was based on RSpamD. So it's a complete solution. You don't need to run any external spam filters. So the problem with doing that, using external tools is that you need to rerun all the tests that Stalwart did, because over Milter you get information about the envelope, but you don't get, unless they look at the headers, you don't get the DMARC and DKIM validation data. So they need to redo all the tests and parse the message again. So as I say, it's a built-in filter, doesn't require any third-party software. They use rules that are compiled at runtime, and it avoids regular expression. Unless you write one, it won't use any regular expression, because I got scared by looking at Spam Assassin, and yeah, there were so many. Also, it has a protection. It's quite effective. And also, there is a repository where you can update and contribute rules to the filter. It supports detects homomorphic attacks, phishing attacks on URLs, DNS block lists, collaborative digest-based filtering with Pizer, for example, trusted replies, sender reputation monitoring to adjust the reputation based on the history, gray listing and spam trap. Although gray listing, you should not use it nowadays. It's not pretty effective. Also, sorry for the term AI. So it means machine learning assisted. It includes the classic base spam filter, either global and also per user. Automatic training of classifiers. When a score is too high or too low, you can trigger the automatic classification. Then also it can integrate with LLMs, either self-hosted or cloud, for filtering to get an assistant of what the LLM thought about the content of the message. Because nowadays, most of the spam comes from Google and Microsoft, so you need to, they're passing all checks. They're not blocked anywhere, so you need to look at the content at some point. Is this offering stuff that I don't need? So, and you do that well. Also, you can run LLM from SIP scripts to classify your messages. And this is something that's been evaluated using BERT models for spam classification, because LLM, as you may know, is quite slow. If you have a heavy server, it will take hours to process your message queue. So another alternative is BERT, but it requires some training. Well, Stalwart is also secure. That was an important part. It supports encryption at rest. Something important is that other providers like Proton Mail or even Dopcod says they offer, well, because they do this encryption at rest, but they don't give you, you don't hold the private key. So it doesn't matter, because when you transfer the message over IMAP, it's unencrypted and they can look at it. I mean, the administrator, unless you're using a proprietary solution like Bitwarden, they can still look at your, have access to your data. So Stalwart uses asymmetric encryption with OpenPGP or S/MIME, so you upload your public key, and when a message is receiving clear text, it will be automatically encrypted. So yeah, and if the message is already encrypted, it won't be encrypted, obviously. Also, you may ask what happens with full text search. Of course, that cannot be encrypted, but you can obfuscate using Bloom filters, using the internal full text search of Stalwart. You can obfuscate the words. Of course, you can do a dictionary attack and find what are those words, but it's a layer of protection if you don't want to lose full text. Also, yeah, no private keys are stored, so an administration can't read the user data. This is how it looks. You select your encryption key. This is a self-service portal, what users use. You paste your key, save changes, and that's it. And the encryption at rest is enabled. Okay, all the security features that Stalwart has, it has like built-in like fail to ban. If someone is trying to try recipients or try has multiple authentication failures or tries to scan your server, you will block them. So if it does not have access to the firewall tables, it will just drop the connection where that IP is blocked. But you can import the blocked IPs and add them to your firewall if you like. Also, it has rate and concurrency limiting on JMAP, IMAP, everywhere. Permissions, granular permissions for every action that can be on the server. And access control list through the IMAP ACL extension or the JMAP sharing draft. You can bundle those permissions in roles and assign roles to users. Also, you have groups. And it's memory safe for. Some people argue that Rust is not a feature, but being a Rust fanboy, I have to list it as a feature, Rust. Yeah. So it has a lot of features, also in addition to what I mentioned. It has a lot of backends that you can use. FoundationDB, I don't know if you're familiar with it, it was created by Apple. They use it internally in clusters of up to thousands of servers to run the infrastructure, so it's very scalable. It's a bit tricky to implement because it has some limits, but it's the best option you have for running Stalwart in a cluster. But if you prefer Postgres or AlloyDB, Galera, all those, you can also use them. For local storage, you have RocksDB and SQLite. This is for the in-memory store, Redis, for the blobs, S3 or Azure, or Minio or Garage, or the file system, and Elasticsearch if you want for full text, and LDAP for authentication. Oh, these are the expressions. This is how you configure Stalwart. They're optional. You can also leave static values. They're used everywhere. They're compiled, and they control the different parts of the server, for example, routing, authentication, span rules, and so on. This is how it looks. For example, this is to determine the authentication mechanisms for incoming SMTP connection. If the port is not 25, and is so it means not 25 is a submission port, those mechanisms will be available. So it's not a scripting language. This is a configuration file in TOML. So there are little those bunch sections of code you see there. This is a sender rewriting rule that uses a regular expression to extract parts of the envelope to write the new mail from. And this is a dynamic routing rule. If it's basically saying that if you have a failure or delivery attempt, use a relay host as a fallback. And this is a TLS rules for outbound delivery. So if the first delivery attempt fails, it's related to TLS, it will disable accepting valid certs because there are a lot of servers out there with invalid TLS certificates. And then if there are more failed attempts, it will just disable start TLS. But if these are not default rules, they're just examples. So if the people want to disable TLS, it's up to their own. So this is just an example. And this is a spam filter rule to determine like a fake reply. It tells, what to look in the message. Okay, so it's feature rich. It includes also, you don't need to use Elasticsearch. It includes a built-in full text search engine that supports language detection, stemming, stop word removal, everything in 17 languages. C scripting supports every single extension out there. Aliases, mailing lists, subaddressing, catch-all, auto-config, auto-discover, ACME with all the mechanisms of multi-tenancy. These quotas per tenant, you can manage, use a REST API to manage the server also. And also, although this is not only for small hosts, you can run Stalwart in distributed environments. In fact, Stalwart was designed with scalability from day one. In fact, the first version implemented the Raft consensus protocol, but then later decided to move to FoundationDB because I did not like that with Paxos or this Raft. Also, you need a leader at all times. So FoundationDB is you can write to any node, and so you don't have that problem with elections and finding a new leader and so on. So it was built to scale. You can load balance and scale Stalwart. It's a coordinator-free architecture. It has a gossip protocol, UDP-based, similar to SWIM, if you're familiar with it. It can discover nodes in the cluster automatically and also detect failures. If something goes, a node crashes, another one can take over and refresh the queue, take over requests, and so on. Also, it's a partition tolerance, so if you have some servers that cannot reach each other through this gossip protocol, you can, it will detect that those servers are alive, they will consider them dead. Also, you can run Stalwart under Kubernetes, read replicas and and backend. Okay, for the authentication features, it supports OpenID, both as a provider and you can contact, also authenticate against other OpenID Connect servers. It supports the OAuth code and device flows. You can also authenticate against LDAP, what I said, OpenID Connect, SQL. It supports two-factor authentication with one-time-based passwords, application passwords also. This is how the user will set up their application passwords or two-factor authentication. Okay, so it also has a lot of telemetry and observability features. You can log to OpenTelemetry, JournalD, log, supports also metrics. Sorry, that is a logging and tracing, but it also supports metrics that can be sent to OpenTelemetry and Prometheus, webhooks for events, alerts, live tracing, and metrics. This is how the log viewer looks like. This is if you are using OpenTelemetry. This is how it's live tracing. You can see the logs, what's happening in real time. This is using event source. Oh, this is a web admin. So you can manage everything from the web. I mean, you can access, you don't need to connect to the server to do anything. Create users, change configuration, everything is done from the web. It also has a self-service portal I mentioned. It's also developing Rust. It's an SPA, so it runs entirely in the browser. It's a separate application and talks to Stalwart over the REST API. And yeah, it's fast and responsive. So it has a dashboard, account domain group management, management of queues, the viewing DMARC and TLS reports, both for the reports you receive and send. You can configure everything from there. And well, log viewer. This is how it looks. It has just a quick overview of how it looks like. I mean, there are a lot of settings everywhere that you can change. You can explore this later if you like. This is how the account management looks like. So you can go there, change authentication, quotas, on memberships, and this long list of permissions that you can adjust per user, and you can bundle them also as a role. There's a dashboard. Of course, this is if you're using OpenTelemetry or Prometheus, perhaps you can build even better dashboard and customize to you. But okay, thank you.
Hi. Thank you for the presentation. It was sure. Amazing. I have a question. So let's suppose you start with a single server setup, right, which is very simple, single binary and UTF-8. If one day you decide to scale it to two, complexity-wise, how hard is it to do it if you're not doing distribution from the beginning?
It depends on the back end. I mean, if you start with, for example, PostgreSDB, and you already have the data there, it's really easy. But if you have RocksDB, no, you need to export your data and re-import it into the new, in the cluster. That is because you're using different backends. So that is the issue.
To move from one backend to the other, is it hard or is it...
There is a tool to export and re-import data. Yeah. To export the entire store and then import it again. Yeah.
It has
cache, IMAP cache, and that it has an eviction policy. So you can configure the amount of memory you can you give to the cache to keep those IMAP mailboxes in memory.
But so if you have like a million mailboxes, does it mean that you have a million caches?
No. You limit the cache based on memory. So you tell, I want to use maximum, I don't know, 2 gigabytes of memory, for example. And then you have the penalty of that Stalwart needs to recalculate those sequence numbers each time you access the mailbox because it won't be in the cache. But it's done when the user logs in to IMAP, and then it keeps that in memory until they leave. Yeah.
So the question was how IMAP sequence numbers can be retained in a foundation DB setting. So that just saw something.
Yeah, supported version 2 and the version 6. If Stalwart supports a proxy protocol, which is a protocol when you run Stalwart behind a reverse proxy, and yes, it does. It supports both versions. I remember they were in version 2 and 6, but both of them are supported. You can use run Stalwart behind Nginx, Kadi, and Traffic, and any other that supports proxy. JMAP?
Yeah, what is your opinion about
Oh, it was a good feeling if it was the first thing I implemented. So it's, but it's yeah, it needs more adoption. Someone needs to convince Google to use it to and be the big players, because it's hard to get adopted.
Sorry, I need to quickly jump in. The question was, how do you what's your feedback agenda? We will actually have an extra session this afternoon because there's one talk by Katie missing, so we will have a panel on JMAP where he might talk a little bit more about that. Mm-hmm. I have two more. I think you in the back, and then.
I'm wondering, how are you able to both build and maintain what was our responsibility of several projects? Are there like anything you have done differently that makes it easier to handle all of these features?
Bob, if it's how I can make let me rephrase
how
it.
Do you
make it
to do
it
all
this
different
to where Well, basically because I have a C background, and back in the days I only had like a make file, a TXT editor, and a lot of segmentation faults. so now with Rust, it's like I'm on a rocket ship because it has a really good. I don't know if you're familiar with Rust, but it's very strict. I remember the first time I coded the mail parser library, I spent I don't know how long trying to use references and stuff that. But once you become friends with the reference checker, everything flies, because it prevents bugs and errors at compile time. You cannot compile broken code in many cases. So that, in addition to all the tools that you have in around the Rust ecosystem, makes it much easier. And also the experience, like this is the lessons learned from the previous two mail servers I wrote in C and Java. So I had experience implementing these protocols before the older versions. So it was that and Rust. Yeah.
Okay, there was one final question.
Yeah. Any chance to be able to use the multi-tenancy support in a non-enterprise environment?
Oh, if it's possible to use the multi-tenancy support in an enterprise
environment?
No, but it's that feature is available to sponsors. Mm-hmm. Because although there are a lot of the project has a lot of stars, not a lot of people are contributing, and to keep the project alive, I thought the only way was to make these features available. You don't need to be enterprise. You can be a GitHub or Open Collective sponsor.